who I used to address on CKLN. He was the culture king. He was the Tina Brown of Toronto. What is it? You know, the main critic. And I would get on there and say, good morning, Mr. Fulford and Mr. Mulroney. I would address the political power and the cultural power. Well, Robert Fulford eventually interviewed Nelson in 2006 and ridicules the hell out of him. And so I could send you that those articles you want to read about Nelson. The guy that butt whipped Dave to do three albums.
Well, you know, I there were a lot of good times in it, and you know, like you said at the start, Dave, you know, Nelson will enable you to make these records, you know, and so if he hadn't have been into it, you know, and obviously there was no huge financial gain for him in it, so don't forget too in that, you know, when we went out in his helicopter, and there was a lot of good times that we also had.
Well, we went out in his helicopter, and you got airsick.
Wow, whatever. But it was funny when he landed at the Star. Remember, he landed in the new building in the middle of the thing. The security guard walks up to him and goes, what the hell's going on? He gets out of his helicopter and goes, I own the plane. He pulls out of the wall and shows like some ID like a FBI guy would and goes, I own the place. And then it's almost like, kind of bemused look. Well, I guess you must.
Hey, Dave, did you see the Toronto Street News went after him again? Did I send you that? The article
they
did on the street? Daniel Libby sent me a copy of it.
But it's so bizarre because a lot of the stuff seems so abstractly removed from the guy that I knew.
That's right. So what I sent you a bunch of articles on Nelson, Barbara. But what was I going to say about that? What can we say? That we had a lot of fun in the 90s. It was when,
and he was into the albums, and he was into backing it and that, you know.
Oh, that's what I wanted to say. Dave got a couple of years. He lived off the money Nelson gave him, and that got Dave to, what does it say? He developed his chops, you know. He fucking learned the computer stuff that led to him becoming the Frank Zappa of our generation. Or a
brief, I don't know.
Some holopathic replay of fucking
Frank Zappa had a massive career.
Yeah, six and a half minutes of fame.
Puny Frank Zappa.
You got his face beat up.
However, I still have my skills. But, I mean, music is obsolete. You know, we can talk about that tomorrow since the whole producer thing, you know. And the whole just climate and environment, you know. I mean, really, music is about as worth as much as you'd pay for a TV show.
That's right. So
you pay to watch a TV show?
Yeah, so you see, Nelson gave Dave the time and slack. Dave's the only one who made any money on these albums. I didn't want to be part of it. And Nelson helped create Dave's talent.
And you know what the neat thing is it was ultimately really modest. That first Bob album was $4,800. But in 1990, when my apartment was like, you know, $275 or $300 a month, that was like fucking a huge shot in the arm.
Yeah.
That was like, I could live off that for like 4 or 5 months easy.
Hey, Dave, do you remember when it was Black Tuesday, October 19th, 1987. That night we go up to your apartment, and that's when we did our freelance talk show. We called the woman. We took a name out of the phone book.
Brilliant.
She loves this
Mrs.
on the first
Sim.
Album.
Yeah.
What?
It was Mrs. Sim. It was.
Oh, you actually remember the name? Wow.
Yes, I do. Remember, we sort of picked that red. It's like, oh, okay. It was beautiful.
Mrs. Sim. Simulation. And so we called her up, and we recorded me trying to get her to discuss having nobody on the phone, and it was the night that the world was teetering on financial collapse because of the crash of the computer.
Yeah, you talked about that, too. You guys did about a 45-minute talk. It was a true Bob show. Can you imagine Bob to get stuff for the Bob album? I said, Bob, come over to my house, and let's do some prank phone calls with Bob. You know, they're harmless when Bob does them, even when they kill people.
I get away with it. I'll talk to anybody, and I make she had a Eureka, and Dave took the Eureka and made that part of the album.
Yes, she was great. She got the Bob energy.
We make an album. Okay, Bob, come over and let's make some crank phone calls, and you can put your charm in whoever answers, and we'll get some content.
So when at first she's really reluctant. Well, depends and all that. Well,
what
for?
Is it again?
Oh, it's,
what?
It's Bob's Talk show on what station? Well, we don't know. It's an entrepreneurial thing. Oh, okay.
Well,
all right, go ahead. Ask me a question then.
People that you knew or not?
No, we just took
total strangers.
Phone book.
Just pick up the phone book and go, all right, this here.
It was
dial
an old lady.
One.
like, you know,
older lady, middle-aged lady.
Right. And the point is, Barbara, is that we did. We only had to phone her. I seduced her, and we got a good
She stayed on for 45 minutes.
Right. And got her
into Boston.
She was all delighted and got insights. What?
That's how entertaining Bob can be.
That's
yeah.
right.
And, that's, and how just not even disarming. How is he, Bob? Yeah, isn't that funny that a total stranger would go, you know what, this guy, I'll engage him even if he's a total idiot.
and
even if he's a complete fraud.
Yeah. So I gave her the thrill of her life. I said at the end, I said, I have been in you and you have been in me.
You didn't say that to her. Oh, no, you might have, actually. But you would have explained in the discarnate thing. And
yeah,
you would have,
yeah.
It wouldn't have seemed, at that point, it would have been acceptable.
And remember, the night we did the Grateful Dead, we had to find the McLuhan video for the Grateful Dead New Year's Eve concert. Remember that?
You put on it. What do you mean, a video for the...
Good. We had
remember you were talking about that, you were laughing, and then someone called you up, wasn't it? Not Timothy Barry or something.
He said,
we're all
Mary.
Dead now. Are you grateful?
Yeah, Mary McLuhan. They called Mary. She knew the Grateful Dead scene, and then she called me and Nelson said, we need to send a tape to the Grateful Dead. They want to play it during their New Year's Eve party. This would be New Year's Eve 1990, maybe. It was when McLuhan was starting to sneak back in the media. And I remember being at Dave's editing it or doing something at your place with the tape. You don't recall that?
I vaguely remember it, but I vaguely remember, too, some of those commercials we made for CKLN up in my bedroom studio.
Yes, I get in the studio, and I'd have to do something. I'd have to act and say things.
Which you didn't like as much, eh? I remember that was all, because you'd have all these huge volume of archives that was also brilliant, and then you'd come in and stick a mic in front of your face. All right,
yeah, that's not natural.
No,
I have to be interacting with people.
Yeah,
I'm not too good to stand by myself. So,
yeah.
But I would come up with something, and then Dave would make a great intro out of it.
Yeah, we had fun. Still do, buddy.
And then, little do we know that we would become the last remaining artist on the planet. Little do we know that we would be the...
Thanks for including me, Bob. But
yeah, I'll include you, Dave.
Okay, thanks.
You made the fucking albums. The albums...
Like, well, that's true. On that level, yeah.
Hey, Dave, on Ion and Bob, have you ever looked at that site with our, you know, Information Farm became Ion and Bob?
Well, I looked at it and was, like, all impressed, but I've not actually gone through and plowed through the content because it's shit, where do you start? It's
so
overwhelmed.
Where do you start? What, Barbara?
Start with the communiques, the seven recent ones from Ion.
Yeah, the communiques.
Last 6 months.
So,
okay.
So
I'm on mute.
What? Who's on mute?
Oh.
What?
I thought I was on mute. Sorry.
I don't know.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, Legend's back. But there's somebody criticizing me on the one of the items, okay? So I said, well, you need to go get Bosnia Ecology Square 1993. There's where you'll get your answers. I use your albums as academic background for...
Yeah, and that one's got a lot of Bob talk.
Yes, that's got the advanced Bob talk.
Yeah.
The four stages of media ecology or something, the four levels of media ecology, and that goes into assassinations and everything. So I've got this instant course that Nelson and Dave made, you know, I quickly say, oh, well, you want to understand me, just go get that album.
You know, I still like that one. I'm surprised you don't play in the show. I still like that we do not know how this is going to sound, but 4, 3, 2...
We got to produce.
Occasionally I still hear that album, and someone's put it online, and I hadn't heard it for years. And so I heard it through this little speaker, and it's weird, too, because that's all before I had, like, compressors, and my board was really simple, and there's really no computer stuff, barely. It was mostly samplers, and the 8-track was kind of, like, really primitive by, you know, today's standards. And I like the way it's thin and sort of quieter sounding than new records, and not as fast sounding. But a lot of ideas, even though it's really simple. But there's a few songs that, got amazing moods.
Yeah.
A lot of it's that old, the all archive. I had so much stuff from the shortwave radio, which gave such a vibe, because that was in the whole glasnost period when of Eastern European stations were trying to almost merge with the West.
Yeah. Dave was news director. And so right here, Rob Ford... with, you know, Sue Bone, who's a 40-year member of Club 22, and her son's in the middle of Rob Ford, and Rob Ford is fighting Adam Vaughn, who's the guy who kicked Dave out of CKLN and lent him the McLuhan album.
Yeah, freaky, eh?
Yeah.
You know.
See, there's only a few people left on the planet, and it's the leftover of the Club 22 battles in Toronto.
Well, at a certain level, although they'll go up, the only reason Toronto made the news is because of Rob Ford.
Yeah, that's right. And he's reflecting me. He tried to distract everybody from my weekend by, you know, releasing video of himself fucking his dog or something, and then definitely trying to avoid me knowing about me. I take it personally.
That's what he was thinking when he was working out at the gym. Fuck Dobbs. You know that video where he's like, I'll fucking rip his eye out. I'll fucking kill him. Brother, you watch me. Give me 15 minutes. No, 10 minutes. I'll fucking kill him.
Yeah,
he was talking about Bob. People keep going, who's he referring to? Bob Dobbs.
He
really
puts a fucking plant in my office. That Brendan was fucking working for Dobbs. That's fucking outrageous. I will kill his shit. Fucking, where is he? Let me
watch
me.
Watch me. I'll do it single-handedly. I don't care how something is. Watch. You watch and witness it for yourself. I'll rip his eyes out.
David's quoting an actual video here. That actually happened.
That's angry, eh?
Yeah.
Well, people keep going, what's it about? What's it about?
Someone was telling me it's a huge story. John Stewart took his TV team and they went up and hung out in City Hall. They did a story on him.
On who?
On John Stewart, the Daily whatever his show is.
It's very funny. The John Stewart, of all of the ones that covered it, Saturday Night Live, Colbert, John Stewart, I personally thought, was the funniest in terms of him. He played the comment. I almost I pull it up on YouTube. Do you want to hear it? Like the excerpt of his little. Yeah, let me. Okay, hang on. I'll find it. It's pretty damn funny. It really is. Hang on a second. But the Saturday Night Live ones and all that shit, that's like high school humor, you know, it's like it's really obvious stuff. Not that they're always shitty Saturday Night Live, but in that case it was kind of mainstream. But let me see, John Stewart, Rob Ford, John Stewart, Rob Ford.
Who's Rob Ford?
He's
the mayor of Toronto, and he's been in the news.
Okay, the crack guy.
He got the crack guy. I'm the crack man. Yeah, I'm
the crack. The fat guy.
No, I'm the crack guy.
Yeah,
the fat crack guy.
Yeah, with the red hair, balding hair.
Yeah.
But Bob, remember when that happened a couple months ago when? That guy from Toronto
Daniel
was on.
Daniel Libby.
Yeah, and we were talking about your whole connection, you know,
with Adam Vaughn,
radio
and
show, and all that, and the mayor.
Yeah.
And then the very next day, the story broke about him doing the crack.
That's right.
With the dealers.
We caused it, Dave. We triggered it by having Daniel Libby call in, and we focused on it. That there was rumors. But I wrapped it up, told the whole story, so his days were numbered. And so they went after him the next day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the very next morning.
Let's see this. Hang on. Let's see if we can get it on. Hang on. Hang on. Okay. So first he makes jokes about Obama's. It's pretty funny, the jokes about the.
So turn up real loud so we can hear
okay.
it.
Okay. Actually,
hey,
to some
I can
of the
go other. There, Dave. I can put it on my system. It'll be loud.
Is it better? Do you want to do that? Do you want me to just email you the link?
Yeah,
or actually, no, if
link.
You put... Okay. Okay, here you go.
Okay, yeah, do that.
And actually, the stuff about Obama's kind of funny, too.
All right.
Here, yeah.
This will be for all you people out there, for everybody. This is good, clear reproduction.
Yeah, this is good espionage.
Wait a minute. I can't fucking play it. You just send it to Bill.
Okay, no, then I'll do it. I'll do it. Okay, I'll do
okay,
it.
Okay, you try it.
Hang on.
Why can't
okay.
I do it? Wait a minute. I can do it.
Yeah. Would you rather do it?
Yes, I think
no.
I can do it. Yeah, let me do it, because I'm hosting
okay. the Okay, it'll be better me putting my phone by the speaker? Okay, let's try it. Hang on. Okay,
yeah.
I'm going to email you the link.
It doesn't have to be as perfect as music.
No. But it's just as long as it's legible. Okay. And then just a little sign it in so I can email it to you.
Hey, Bob, while he's doing that, what's the next Evergreen segment going to be about?
Well, I'm doing it chronologically. We're going to do Atlantis and Lemuria, I think. I'm doing it like the original spirit and matter, then the alteration of the caveman, the dinosaurs and the caveman, and then Atlantis and Lemuria, and then we'll do the Bible era, Noah and that stuff. It's very good. You know, we work through the phases.
Okay, cool.
And then we get to
Bobby,
the,
if you check your email, it might have hit Hawaii.
Yeah, there it is. Okay.
Sweet.
So we click on it, get my button in there.
It's about 9 minutes. It's pretty damn funny. It's worth it. And you know what? Can I just run downstairs and get that ice cream and just bring it back upstairs? I can have it eaten. And okay, I'll be right back.
He's got to get his candy hit. Got to get his sugar hit.
Sweet. Yeah, sugar hit. Hey, Bob, at one point I want to know, like, when you were growing up with the elites, what they believe in?
Oh, just a minute, I'll turn that off. Sorry, it's just spinning. It's spinning, so I guess
we have a nice one for you tonight. Star of the new film, The Book Thief, Jeffrey Rush, the great Jeffrey Rush, will be joining us. Let's begin tonight with healthcare.
Okay, what were we saying, Barbara? What the fuck?
Oh, what? Well, I can ask it later.
No.
Well, last we checked, the Indian battle Obama administration was making a simple
promise. Maybe I got two of them here. Why is it going on and on?
This month, we anticipate that it is going to be working the way it is supposed to.
It will take until the end of November for an optimally function.
Yeah, leave it there. That's good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. There. What are you saying, Barbara? You want to know?
I just want to know, when you're growing up, with the elite.
Downton
what
Abbey. Downton Abbey.
Yeah. What did they believe in? I mean, did they believe in non-physical?
Well, that's what, they believed the meeting with the message. They understood that the Information Society was, out of their control. They didn't have to do propaganda. That's a disservice of 1984. 1984 has the elites, you know, editing the news to make sure that people don't get the truth. Well, the more advanced elites knew that it was a post-information society. And that's why they're interested in Finning's Way, because he described that. And, when McLuhan revealed that in 1953, the medium is the message, they said, holy God, this guy knows what we know. How did he do it? And it turned out he got it from Wyndham Lewis. So, that's what they thought. Hmm. It was a pre-McLuhan.
And remember the Rockefellers funded the exploration stuff in what, 51 or 50?
That
no,
Ford.
54.
Ford. No, 52, 53 they got the grant, and it was Ford Foundation.
Right.
So, are we all ready?
Yeah.
So it's the Kathleen Sebelius. I'll just let it run, Dave. Just let it go.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
All right. Actually, it was spinning. I'm going to put it back at the beginning. Get start right where it starts.
Oh, we have a nice one for you tonight. Star of the new film, The Book Thief, Jeffrey Rush. The great Jeffrey Rush will be joining us. But let's begin tonight with healthcare. Uh-oh. Rhymes with love. Well, last we checked in, the embattled Obama administration was making a simple promise to the American people.
By the end of this month, we anticipate that it is going to be working the way it is supposed to.
It will take until the end of November for an optimally functioning website.
We will have it fully functioning by the end of November.
Fully functioning by November, but as of now, for some reason, the site continues to give people hepatitis. We don't know. Well, today, the president called a press conference to make a slight adjustment to the promise of a fully functional website by November 30th.
The website will work much better on November 30th, December 1st, than it worked certainly on October 1st. That's a pretty low bar. By the time we look back on this next year, the people are going to say, this is working well.
Let me be clear. When I said end of November, I did not say which November. Let me be clear about that. But the president didn't just call all of us together to lower our expectations for the website.
There are going to be ups and downs during the course of my presidency. I think I said early on when I was running, I am not a perfect man and I will not be a perfect president. But I'll wake up every single day working as hard as I can.
That wasn't the slogan you campaigned on. I think when you campaigned, you were all, yes, we can. I don't remember the other slogan. I'm sorry, I was interrupting. You were saying something?
We fumbled the rollout on this health care bill. That's on us, not on them. It's not on them, it's on us. That's on me. And again, that's on us. Which is why we're... that's on me.
That's me. I did it. I f***ed up. Do me a favor. Just kick my ass, okay? Kick this ass for a man, that's all. I'm not asking, I'm telling with this. Kick my ass.
I can't believe this! The website fiasco has basically turned our president into Artie Fufkin. But of course, for every cloud, there is a silver lining. Certainly the rollout for the president's signature legislative accomplishment has been rocky. But at least it has not been mayor of Toronto rocky. Or, as the mayor is now referred to...
The crack-smoking mayor of Toronto...
Yes, Toronto mayor and intrepid intoxicant aficionado Rob Ford yesterday appeared before the mighty Toronto City Council as crowds of his supportive constituents gathered outside. So that's where South Park got that. Anyway, Ford had some splaining to do.
Mr. Mayor, do you still have zero tolerance for drugs, guns, and gangs?
Absolutely.
Wait, did you say zero tolerance for drugs or Jim Morrison-like high tolerance for drugs? But then inevitably the $64,000 question, or whatever crack costs in Canada.
Have you purchased illegal drugs in the last 2 years?
Yes, I have.
For the record, the pause before Mayor Ford to answer that factual yes or no question was 8 seconds long. 8 seconds. We don't know what he was thinking in the interval. But we think it might have been this.
Have you purchased illegal drugs in the last 2 years?
The classic. Ford grimly admits drug use. Wins by a landslide. Mayor for life.
Yes, I have.
Going through the headline, perhaps. Maybe in those 8 seconds... Mayor Ford was truly trying to remember the last time he bought crack. Or maybe he was doing the Homer Simpson thing, exhorting himself not to say yes before blurting out, yes, no! Or perhaps he was just pausing for dramatic game show contestant effect.
Have you purchased illegal drugs in the last 2 years?
Yes, I have.
He did it! He won! That is what some people like to happen. Ultimately, the council voted 37-5 to request non-bindingly if the mayor would consider respectfully a leave of absence. Sir, please. Or as that's known up there, justice. Canadian style. But of course, drug purchases turn out to be the tip of the Rob Ford.
New bombshell allegations, including accusations that Ford consorted with a suspected prostitute, snorted cocaine, drove while drinking, and smoked a joint with two women.
And then after lunch... You know what? These allegations are going to keep surfacing. All the guy's got to do is just lay low, get some professional help, and then it's all going to blow over. And cue him this morning talking to the press.
A short time ago, Mayor Ford denied a woman that he met was a prostitute.
Alana is not a prostitute. She's a friend. Litigation will be starting shortly. I've had enough. I have to take legal action against the waiter that said I was doing lines at the beer market.
Why is a one-man episode of Cops? But all of this, the allegations, the intoxicated rant tapes, the crack smoking he believes is excused somehow by his rampant alcoholism, all of this pales in comparison to this next moment. I want to ask you a question at home. Do you have children? Because if you do, you might want to go right now and wake them up and bring them downstairs. And gather them around the television set. I know they've got school tomorrow, but I think you'll agree once you see this clip. It's more important than school. This next clip will astonish and amaze you. This is Toronto Mayor Rob Ford addressing allegations that he sexually harassed one of his staffers.
Oh, and the last thing was Olivia Gondak. It says that I want to get her conduct. I've never said that in my life, Dora. I would never do that. I'm happily married. I've got more than enough to eat at home.
Through his tears, Anthony Weiner is going, what the f***? Oh, that lady said I wanted to eat a f***. I have an all-you-can-eat buffet at home. In fact, the only thing that gets me through the ridiculous amount of non-stop cunnilingus I have to perform is the sweet relief of crack. Look! Let me beg you, Mayor Rob Ford of Toronto, let that be your last statement. Throw down the mic. Make that your last sentence of your entire career in public service, because that is what we call in my business a closer. We'll be right back.
The Daily Show.
Yee. So, Bob, did you watch that while you were listening to it? Or you fell asleep. That was too pink for you. Bob?
Sorry, I'm on mute.
Oh, I see.
And they're telling you, what do you mean? I watched it. I laughed at it. And then
it was funny.
You thought I fell asleep, for fuck's sake.
Sorry, I don't mean to tell you, but literally, it ended no laughter, no nothing. So I thought, oh, was that too pink for you, Bob?
No.
No, it was. That was funny, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I wish I could. You should have your. Too bad you didn't have your phone on, man.
You know, after all of that, he still has a higher approval rating than President Obama.
Yeah.
His 45% and Obama's 39%.
Well, it's not the best position to be in now anymore, the figure of authority.
And also look at the whole superlative nobody. He's a separation of the blurring of the private self and the public self. And the public now, they don't expect the private or the public guys to, you know, they expect them to have some skeletons in their closet. So if they're just drug use and that, they almost can overlook that in Canada.
Yeah.
In other countries, if you admitted buying illegal drugs, you'd be put to death or put in prison.
Yeah, the best pattern is before television, people did not discuss their private lives in public. You didn't discuss religion and politics in the middle class. And everybody expected dirt to be handled behind the scenes. Business was dirty. So everybody was just cynically accepting that politicians were corrupt. And you weren't allowed to talk about their private, you didn't talk about your private opinions about things. So then TV comes along, everything flips. You start becoming lax in your private life, you become immoral and fuck anything that moves, and all the revolutions start happening, and yet you have to wear an iconic pure sign on your sleeve of your dedication to some public issue. So before, you've got, you're going to end up, there's this private awareness and public awareness, so they have to be negotiated. So in the old days, before media correctness took over, you were expected to be indifferent to the public media, public sphere. You know, it was all corrupt. Probably leads to wars every time. And you're supposed to have integrity in your private life.
Right.
Well, once it, you get into the TV era, 60s, 70s, you have to have integrity in your public position because everybody's on camera.
Yes.
So you become very religious about your political correctness. While your private life falls apart, you become a glass-smoking, fucked-up, Rob Ford. Your private life falls apart. Your chemical body falls apart. And you're not following the traditional morals of the 19th century, which is what was the image you... Your private life was more important 100 years ago, and you had to have an upright image. And that falls apart in the last 30 years, but you have to have integrity somewhere, so integrity becomes your position on ecology or Cardinal Thomas or this Clarence Thomas and all these things. So the public became your real identity, your public position on things, while you became an idiot and forgot to raise your kids in private.
Right.
That's the switch that the court made.
And also the pollster.
Right. Now, what'd you say, Legend? You like that?
Was it Mary and Barry? Same thing?
Yes.
Yeah, Mary and Barry. Yeah.
He was reelected after he went to prison.
What?
Yeah, that's right.
He went to prison, and then he was reelected.
Right.
He's still mayor.
He represented the black tribe, and whatever the issues were, Jesse Jackson should be president or something back in the 80s. That's what he had to have integrity about. Remain, be the icon for your tribe in the global theater of tribal images warfare. But privately, he didn't have to do any moral ethics. He could have prostitutes and do crap.
Right. He just had the correct position in public thing. Yeah.
But what happened to Fulford?
Robert Fulford is still functioning.
Yeah, but he was jumping up and down saying that the
I thought you were talking about Robert Fulford up in Toronto.
Oh, Rob Ford.
You're talking about Benjamin Fulford.
Benjamin Fulford, yeah, I'm sorry, I got the two confused.
Yeah, what happened to him? I don't know anything about him.
Well, no, I thought he was from Toronto, the guy that
No, Robert Fulford is a major old critic.
Editor.
Literary critic.
Oh, I know. I am talking about Benjamin Fulford. I thought you had mentioned him, but I got the two confused.
No,
but
I was...
Benjamin Fulford, what Fulford was so-called connecting with a lot of the financiers, international financiers, and trying to put together some sort of game plan to make sense of the international economy that he was calling the kettle black, saying that none of it had any accounting standards, none of it made any sense, but he was going to make some sense out of it. Do you remember him at all?
Oh, I know about Benjamin Fulford. Yeah, we reviewed him with Ion. But he's a case that he runs around having a harassed private life, hiding, while he maintains his opinion about what's going on. That's his religion, is to have the correct interpretation of what happened this week in the Illuminati battles. And that's his whole life, is communicating a politically, fringe political correct position and representing the battle against the Illuminati. Alex Jones does the same thing. They're all...
Well, right, but he said he had a direct connection with Rockefeller. So what did Nelson Rockefeller think about his father and his place and how his father so-called, leads
Which
on
Nelson?
With
Nelson? Nelson died in 79. He was murdered by his mistress or something. You know, remember? He was caught being with his mistress and he died in the throes of... performing some kind of something personal in his apartment, and then the girlfriend had to report, his mistress had to report, hey, Nelson died. And of course, Peter was predicting that all died. It all started in July 78 when Nelson's brother was killed. This is when the Bolsheviks took over the Rockefeller Empire. They killed John III in the summer of 78 on the Pocantico Rockefeller estate in New York. Then in January they killed Nelson Rockefeller, and then in the summer of 1980 they kicked David off the board of Chase Manhattan Bank. That was the takeover, and Beter was documenting. You'll listen to his tapes in 1980. He lays that out there.
Mm-hmm.
1979.
What's the status now of the Rockefellers? I mean, they're
nothing. They have nothing. They're bankrupt. They're nowhere.
Oh, is that right?
Always
I didn't know
fun
that.
Of them. What?
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
A lot of the people who worked for those people, I'm not going to name any names, defected to JW.
Oh,
that's
right.
JW had a fucking bank account. Those guys didn't anymore. They get wiped out after .com. Remember, the Rothschilds go public in 1981. That's the first signs of trouble.
Following that for a while, and then I lost interest.
What do you mean when you say the Rothschilds went public in 81? What do you mean?
Okay, they're a private banking thing, and then they allowed the public to become shareholders in their...
Oh, okay.
And that's after the battles of the late 70s, when they're seriously weakened.
Mm-hmm.
And then remember the Sony bought Rockefeller Center in 83, 84.
And they also bought Universal Studios, didn't they?
But didn't he say that Sony originally was bought by the Rockefellers?
That was Standard Oil of New York. That's what Sony stands for. Standard Oil of New York. That was...
Oh, I didn't know that either.
So they bought back the people that seeded them from the ashes of World War II.
The Rockefellers propped up Sony. So Sony ran the Japan for the Rockefellers. Then the Rockefellers got beat up and knocked off and killed in the late 70s. So Sony had to come in and pick up the dregs of the Rockefeller Empire.
Interesting, because they also, I don't know if the Columbia Broadcasting System was connected to the Rockefeller
Well, they owned all three studios. They owned
Sony bought that in 83 or so as well.
Right. That was the old Rockefeller leftovers. And where are they now? Nowheres. You know, Japan crashed in the late 90s. They couldn't hold together.
They've been in stagflation kind of for 20 years.
Yeah.
Or just no growth. They can't. They got 0%.
That's the
0% interest.
It's stagnant. And the Bolsheviks...
Yeah, but they still produce quality products.
Yeah, no, they still produce quality products, yeah, but they can't get the same growth that they have not been able for 15 years. They have 0%, I think, interest rates are like 0.5. They practically give you money and they still can't get the economy booming.
Yeah, it's the old Rockefeller Empire. They can't get going. The Bolsheviks control it in the West. And through the Pentagon. That's the hijacking, you know, of the military economy. Into black box projects of who knows what they think they're doing. And then Ein comes in to clean it all up and says, you cannot be hypnotized. You cannot be zapped by heart. You think you can, but you don't have to worry about it. You got the RNA drop.
And there's no chemtrails.
Yeah, and the chemtrails are just pleasant chemistry.
Well, that's what I meant to ask you earlier. As you mentioned earlier, that the CIA and or the... surveillance people were using the evergreens as
yes, the CIA and the State Department used the evergreens. They were the best psychic on the world in the 70s and 80s.
Right. Well, do you have any inside info on that? I mean, other than what you'd already told us, that they any additional information?
Yes.
Like, what were they primarily using them for? Did they just use them temporarily as a fix for what they're focusing on at that moment, or did they extensively use them for additional purposes such as developing new equipment and or, you know.
Who, the Evergreens?
Yeah, I mean, were the Evergreens used extensively for government's
way? Every year the State Department would come and get a rundown of what was going to happen that year. That's all
and
I know.
They're pretty accurate? Evergreens are pretty accurate?
Not 100% accurate, but they were the best around, and they're one of the few people who accurately predicted the Berlin Wall would go down. Anybody, me and the Evergreens are the ones who can say we predicted. I went further and predicted reunification of Germany. That's in October 1988 at Jerry Fialka's, and it was played on Dave Porter's show. Dave Porter played it on, like, Dave Neufeld's birthday, October 16th, 88. I always note the dates of Dave's birthday. So around that time, I was interviewed or it was put on the show, and then... Everybody forgot about it, and then a year later when the wall went down in November 89, Dave Porter or somebody reminded him, and he went scrambling for the interview and found it and replayed it. Holy shit, Bob predicted this.
Nice. Well, do you have any prediction on North Korea?
No.
I can't believe they've been able to maintain their...
I don't predict that. That world doesn't exist anymore. The Outer Kingdom is not involved in Iron-dom. We are the only world that exists. What's it? Was nothing to notice. Nothing's going to happen to me. Nothing can happen.
Well, I mean,
to
you
it.
Had. No, I'm saying you had those opinions before about those major events. I didn't know.
I had opinions about those events before Ion showed up.
Well, yeah, I was just saying, did you have any opinions on anything other than that?
We're actually causing these problems, you know. We are, Ion says right there, Bob, you caused the hurricanes in the Pacific Ocean. We're changing the chemistry of the Pacific Ocean. And that was broadcast a couple of weeks ago. That was said back in 2010. You know, when you got, it's just like Fringe. A hole has been punctured in our world and the ascended vibrations are leaking through. It's not a cataclysm like Fringe has it, but you've got this powerful substance, the I-cell, spreading around this dimension. It knocked out the greening envelope. What is that? The global warming envelope. It's eating up the carbon dioxide and making everything nice and green patches are exploding all over the place, and ice patches where they didn't have them before are happening. But I don't even bother documenting it. I just know what we're doing with our cold fusion battery, very powerful battery. That's what's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Has the environment already changed?
Yes.
To the point where that formula that Ion gave us during the revelation.
Yes, that's been happening the last couple of years. And I mean, Ion just told me the other day that I have 144,000 double helix strands now.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's been, I guess they've been growing the last couple of years on the drops. You guys can expect that too.
Yep.
But this is nut talk. If anybody who's listening to this will start saying, well, you're a nut, Bob, blah, blah, blah. Why do I need to listen to them? We're doing something.
Don't slow down, baby.
Yeah, don't slow down. We're doing something useful.
Yeah.
Dr. Dean's come into her power, and there's no stopping now.
Well, what would you hesitate for someone who couldn't appreciate it?
Yeah. And so I'll just mock him by even making more ridiculous statements.
Yeah. That's right.
You're good at that, I tell you.
I'm good at that, that's right.
So, Bob, would you say the powers that be or that were, they're in fear mode and they're going all out, like with the whole police state crap they're trying to pull? And
well, look at the medical cartel. That's a very powerful corporation. They are in big fearfulness because their products ain't working. And the people have finally noticed it. And then you got us offering something that does work. So they're just going to scramble to try to hold on to some ignorant people who don't know anything and will still come to the hospital. That's all they got.
Cialis works. I think that's their major moneymaker.
What does that do, Carolyn? Cialis.
Cialis? For erection.
Yeah, that's... Pardon me?
I think they think people are so stupid. The commercials are so insane.
Yeah,
I know. They're terrible.
If you want to get rid of a pimple, but you know, you might get heart disease or liver disease if you take the drug, but ask your doctor if it's right for you. I mean, I don't get it.
Hey, look at this.
How could anybody listen to that? And
here's what's going on. They are just bombarding people. So the immigrants come over, the people don't understand, they don't know the 50 kinds of snow, the culture of North America. So they come over all terrified, running from the dictatorships in Europe or South America someplace. So they come here, and all they see is noise on the screen, TV screen. And the ad companies keep throwing noise, this hysterical fucking rapid broadcasting, and it keeps the population off balance. And so they don't even register. They don't even pay any attention to it. But then they get sick, and they say, well, what do you do? Well, you got to go to a hospital. That's what they do in America. So they just don't have a way of getting a grip on perceiving where the real environments are. So the ads
But Cohen describes that as war.
An act of war. So they don't expect you to notice the ads or pay attention, so they make it more absurd, and they just keep up pumping them at you. It's the actual World War III is the image attacking you through your TV screen, if you're
exactly. That's why I always giggle when I see those commercials, like Cialis commercials. That's a hard-on commercial. They got two 50-year-old people in a bathtub overlooking the sunset. Cialis, I'm going to get a hard-on. Hey, honey, But you gotta have this pill before I get a hard on. I ain't got the pill.
Yeah.
Those are hilarious. That's one of the biggest money makers.
Yep.
But if you had the drops, you wouldn't need those.
That's right. And that's what, Barbara, the point is the TV is not being targeted at people. It's being targeted among its own components to create a hysterical environment depending on what country is doing it. You know, it's a, and so the immigrant comes over and doesn't know what's going on and thinks that the information is being targeted to them. They're supposed to pay attention, but they can't keep up with it, so they just tune out. And then when they get in trouble, they just follow what the ritual is. You go to a hospital, and they don't know the signs have been changed at the hospitals. The hospitals are not hospitals now. They're military MK Ultra operations.
Yeah, they are. Well, China doesn't allow that type of advertising.
No. No.
And what do you think the status of their country is at the moment? They can't deal with the fast changes either?
Yeah, everybody on the big national bureaucracy level can't handle anything. They have no solutions, and they're just going to be 10 more research, more G7 meetings, you know, we'll keep doing reports and studying. They just keep typing. They can't do anything. And they just hope that the people don't, you know, do some kind of radical expulsion of them. So, yeah, so they just keep bombarding the people with imagery.
Military imagery for them.
You know, a really good show, Veep. Watch Veep. It's a docudrama of what's actually going on in the White House. It's really well done to show you the absurdity of that institution.
Oh, yeah, you mentioned Hillary Clinton just a minute ago. What? I'm sure you have some good dirt on her. So she left that situation and just everybody ended up going down.
Yeah, and Peter Paul has it all on tape. And they played it on 60 Minutes and all the stuff, the incriminating stuff with Bill and Hillary. And, of course, the Bill and Hillary are untouchable.
Yeah, why is that? Because she's a disappearing artist. I mean, she gets out of every little thing she gets into.
Yeah, well, she got doubles, and she's her father was the one who opened the connection to China. You know, they know the China.
Yeah, with the Walmart. They're the ones that signed Walmart up. And said,
right.
Okay.
But I don't want to go over that stuff. We've done that hours of that on cash flow.
That's true.
So let's forget that crap. We're not saying new. There's nothing new to be said. The new thing is to not say anything about them anymore. Hey,
well, you mentioned it.
Do you have anything to say about Cialis, Carolyn? Now, what's the disservices of Cialis or whatever it's called?
Mm-hmm.
What's the disservices of Cialis?
Cialis?
Is that the way you say it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Cialis. It's a Viagra, I guess.
It's another type.
Another type of Viagra kind of thing.
And I think it's a little more popular.
More popular. Very high selling.
Even gives you more raging hard-on.
More raging hard-on.
Yeah, I guess in some people who have heart problems, it's hard on that. Too much stimulation to the heart.
You're getting ready to go to bed, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
She goes to bed early so that she can get up earlier for me and protect me.
Nice.
So you're going to be okay?
Oh, yeah. I got my ice cream, got my oranges, I got my people. My people are here with me.
Okay.
I'm getting conky.
Okay.
It's 2:48 my time.
Where'd you take out?
I'll probably get up in the middle of the night.
Yeah, you check on me.
Okay.
So, did I hear you laughing, Barbara, at some point?
No, I didn't laugh.
Yes,
yes, I heard Barbara laughing at some funny thing that I intended to be funny. I'm glad someone heard it. So let's play some archives.
Bob, so Barb and Greg are staying on with you. Is Greg still here?
No, I think Greg's gone. Nobody has to stay on with me.
Yeah, you'll be okay.
Oh yeah, people will be back in a couple of hours. You know, they're it's like, what is it? It's
2:49.
Yeah, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in a couple of hours. People will be calling in. They get up early. I'm well.
All right,
Kara.
Awesome.
How long is this next segment?
It can be long. I think it's an hour and 10 minutes.
Which plane?
I think this next one is Atlantis and Lemuria, and then developing from there into early cultures.
Oh, okay.
This is Evergreens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On the Bobathon.
That's right, Dave.
This summer.
Yes, this sir, coming to a massage parlor near you.
Coming to a massage parlor near you. Coming to a massage parlor.
Rob Ford says, I'd be dead now if it wasn't for Bob.
Rob Ford says, I'd be dead now if it wasn't for Bob.
Actually, I am dead, but I mean my chemical body's still going. My TV body is dead, but no, I've still got my chemical body. Thanks to Bob.
Yeah. You know what's funny? After all that's happened, he was literally, like, disowned by everyone. Like, you know, he was wearing, like, an Argo sweater into, like, the legislature or whatever the council one is. And then, like, the Argo franchise says, please don't wear a sweater. And, you know, and so then they said, please don't go to the Santa Claus parade. And he, like, loves the parade. He loves kids, right? He really wants to go. And he was, like, really heartbroken, so they wrote back and said, well, how about if he goes, like, and just, like, dresses up with a clown so he won't, like, you know, cause a disruption, because they said, you're going to just, like, it's about Santa and the kids, it'll just become a big media horde, you know, and paparazzi, so, you know, better probably if you don't come. And so he said, what if I come with the clowns? And so they called back, and about half an hour later, they said, no, the clowns don't want you to do that either, no.
So what happened, Barbara, is he had a radio show. So they canceled his radio show 2 weeks ago or so, but then they gave him a TV show, he and his brother. So they go on the TV, they do one show, and the show's canceled.
Yeah.
You and your brother, Dave, or?
No, we're talking about Mayor Ford. But how did...
The fat guy.
Him and his brother. His older brother. But... sorry, I'm getting a little tired. I just thought this, but it was some of what, oh yeah, so yeah, but, so what he did was he went to the Argos guy, well, yeah, better not. So what did he do? He went on his own on Sunday to the Argos game and just, like, walked in and went, and of course people started recognizing him, and then, like, everyone's coming around for autographs. It's like all the cameras are on. Look, Mayor Ford is at the Argo game.
The most famous mayor of history.
Yeah, and they're all like, well, you know, he's like, I'll fucking go to a game if I want to. He didn't say that exactly. He didn't use the fuck word, but he basically, that was his attitude. I'll go where I want.
Yeah. I know. When have we ever heard about a mayor in Canada ever?
Ever.
Right. Never. Never. And it has people, to be, it's, we have Sky Goddess's like, Sue.
Outrageous.
Sky Goddess Sue's son is fucking in the middle of it. That's the connection here.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
He got appointed chief of staff, and he turned it down.
No, he turned it down. Yeah. Yeah, he could have had the top job.
Oh. Yeah, for that guy.
Wow.
For $50,000, same salary as basically getting.
Yeah, but his budget's been cut, so he can't offer any new job.
Yeah, yeah,
so.
But still.
Now, he's going to sit there until they have the election, right? He can sit there.
And he might win.
Yeah, I hope he wins.
He might win, you know, especially if the left split the vote. Because he's going to take, like, probably 35 at least. All they have to do is take 35% of the vote to win it. Because if the rest of them are center and left, then they'll just get all the votes. And then
I will demand that we vote for Rob. We don't want Adam Vaughn becoming mayor.
I don't think he'll run. At least this next round. Well, you've got John Tory that's considering running, even though he always loses. You know, he's got, you know, money and credibility. So
John Tory, he used to work for the Toronto Star. Nelson used to talk about him.
Or no, CTV.
Oh, John Tory.
That's broadcasting.
John Tory.
Okay, but and then Olivia Chow.
Yeah.
Would consider, mind you, she's now been in federal politics, but there's someone else.
She used to come to see CKLN when Dave was news director. She and her dad.
Really, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember Jack Layton.
Yeah.
Remember John Cretchen came even.
Right. Now what?
You were there that day when he came, I think.
Yeah, I was there when Joey Ramone was there too.
Oh, I wasn't there. That's
My show got canceled because he was there.
Who was it? Gary Topp interviewed him, or?
Yeah, it could have been Gary. Yeah.
I saw Gary about a year ago, a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Just by total coincidence, his mechanic is the same as mine, and so I pulling my car, and he happened to be getting his fix. I'm like, yo, shit, how's it going? And, you know, of course, CKLN, you know, what a rat hole, long gone. He said, yeah, I had my own, like, online show. And he goes, you know, fuck it. You know, it's like, you know, I had, like, 12 listeners or something. He's like, it's just abysmal. And then he goes, are you doing many shows now? He goes, well, you know, I booked one guy recently. He's incredible. The guy's, like, 20. He's, like, the new Dylan. He's amazing. And no one came. He's just like, fuck it. No one gives a fuck anymore about music. I just don't bother with it. And he doesn't do a gospel show.
Did the Edge close like 20 years ago?
Oh, fuck. At least, if not longer.
Yeah, long time.
But still, he had a live thing going. But it's really been, especially the last 6-7 years, where it's become evident that music is really obsolete and no one gives a fuck.
Yeah.
And so they don't care if you've got...
Has he got gray hair?
No, not so bad. He's still got kind of a bushy sort of Jewish mane kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, nah, he's still got his hair.
They were the movers and shakers late 70s, early 80s in Toronto.
Yeah.
I had
pretty down to earth too. I remember always as a kid, you know, and the few events that they held, I remember when I walked through the door, you know, as young, they always gave everyone a friendly look. They weren't snobby people.
Right.
You know, they made you feel welcome at the gigs.
Well, Dave, I had one relationship with him in November
97.
Oh, no, later. Gary Topp.
Yeah.
In November, end of October, November 77, I was with Captain Beefheart in California, and I was looking through my old Evergreen notes, and I have Captain Beefheart's trailer park where his mother lives address. I wrote it down way back then, and forgot that I had his address. I can turn it into a historical place. But anyways, I arranged for Captain Beefheart to be interviewed by Daddy Cool at CFNY. And then to see if Gary Topp wanted to have him play at the Edge, and he certainly did. So those guys courted me for a couple of days, calling me, oh, yeah, well, can you get Don Van Vliet? But in the end, Don Van Vliet decided not to do it and went somewhere else. He went and played the Colonial Tavern, and it was too late. But for 2 days, I was the guy with the hot thing, because Gary would love to have had Beefheart play at the Edge or whatever club he had going.
He's a music lover.
Yeah. He was a nice guy.
Well, that's why it's disgusted by now, because no one cares about music, and this is a guy that found huge depth and from music and devoted a lot of his time to it and thought, specialty.
Dave, he focused too much on retrieving acoustic space. He should have developed his tactile sensibilities, and then he would have been the greatest artist alive today. That is me with my tactile expertise leading to Ion, the extension of tactility.
Yeah.
But they stayed addicted to acoustic space.
Yeah, it's tough to be Bob too. You know, Bob, you were good before acoustic space.
That's right. Yeah, I've been around. I've been good the whole fucking life. I've been on top of it all the way. The world's just waking up to me. What legend? What'd you say, legend?
When you were hanging out with all those people back then and hitting that scene, were you doing any drugs? Were you doing weed or drinking at all?
No, the only drugs that got into me was in intelligence battles and spiked drinks and poisonings and things. That's how I got it. So I had several weird drug trips that were not voluntary. But
LSD?
Yes, probably some perverted LSD. I had a good trip on LSD at one point. The whole world turned to gold, and that was an interesting prophetic thing. But in the late 70s, I was on the phone regularly with Captain Beefheart and with Charles Bukowski. They were my phone buddies.
But they were drug addicts, weren't they?
Not Beefheart. Beefheart, he told me in 69, I said, you ever take LSD? He says, well, who hasn't? And I think he stopped doing it. And Bukowski didn't do, I don't know what he did. He drank a lot, and he maybe took uppers, but I don't know if he ever took LSD.
LSD is not something you do on a regular basis.
Right.
Does LSD burn brain cells?
Beg your pardon?
Does LSD burn brain cells?
Burn Brandt's house.
Brain cells.
Does it heat up your brain? Does it raise the temperature?
Only if you believe, I would say only if you believe that information. If you believe that pattern, it'll do it to you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I've never tried it, but I've heard it.
I don't think it'll
burn your
brain
cells. Well, that makes sense. Remember when people would do LSD trips, they'd often do it with guides to make sure they weren't in a bad state of mind as they went into it, because it would just become amplified.
Yeah. And the, So I don't think LSD was a disservice to people. If they're reasonably sane, I don't think they got their chromosomes damaged. But if you were, you know, sort of looking for suicide, you would have a bad trip and wreck your body.
Mm-hmm. I knew a guy that I think I mentioned to him. I used to party with him a lot all through, but I did great.
No, we did that story. I don't want to go through that.
Did we? Okay, yeah, guy went to the hospital and the LSD and the Rosemary's Baby and all that stuff. Yeah.
Okay, well, we can talk a couple more minutes. We got to go over the top of the hour.
One more question. Are you still doing those animals?